I'm delighted now to welcome Stan Rodman. He is the U.S. producer of the film The Other Bank, which is screening as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, this is a film made in Georgia, not the Western Hemisphere, Georgia, near Russia, the Republic of Georgia.
Right.
How did you get involved in making a film? Georgia does not exactly have a bustling, burgeoning film industry.
Actually, I think the time we started, they had one working theater in the whole country. There is not a film industry there. I went to film school with George Ovashvili. George is from the Republic of Georgia, Tbilisi. His family had a small farm there, and he's been a filmmaker for several years. He went to a film class at the university in Tbilisi. So anyway, we met. We had an instant connection. We worked together on short films. We sent scripts back and forth. We talked about a lot of things, and ultimately, we wanted to do a couple projects, and I was so fascinated, number one, just by talking to George and meeting him and seeing how he would put projects together. I said, we should do something, and let's do something in your country, because I think it's fascinating. One of the interesting things he said was, he said, that's good. He said, but if we're going to do a film here, you have to come here first and see the people before you write about us. And so I went to a map and found where the Republic of Georgia was, former Soviet Union. Anyway, I went there and we spent time together and we ultimately came up with a script for a film that takes place during the Rose Revolution in the early 90s. And at the same time we came, George had an idea for another film based on a novel that had been written, I think, about 30 years ago. And it had to do with basically a refugee, a young boy in a refugee status, and his attempts to reconcile the lack of opportunity that he saw, that he was facing, with his desperate attempts to hold on to a family. The Other Bank, the title The Other Bank, refers to, think of the other bank of a river, the other side of a river, in other words, crossing over to somewhere better. In this case, and in the book, ultimately, Africa is the other bank.
Why Africa?
You know, I don't know. That came up several times, especially when the need arose to visualize that aspect of the novel, because that's how the writer had proposed it, in taking this young man and getting him probably the exact opposite. If you notice at the end of the film, those scenes of Africa, those refer back to, in the opening of the film, the young boy who's sniffing glue and saying, well, you know, I sniff, basically he says, I do this, and it takes me to this wonderful place where there are wild animals. And so that's a connection, that's a loose connection. We were very fortunate to work with Getty Images out of L.A. to get
that footage,
yeah,
and... Well, the other bank could also, I mean, the child is trying during the course of the movie to find his father. He and his mother have been separated from his father when they escaped in the way that he became a refugee, and he's trying to find him. So it's also trying to get back to the other side to find his dad.
Oh, absolutely. He escaped once with his mother out of Abkhazia because of the ethnic cleansing that was taking place there and the separatist movement. And then at the same time, it's a complicated scenario where he's escaping twice. You know, he was in Tbilisi with his mother over the years and no father. The hopelessness that he sees there, the events that are happening there with his mother. The only thing left for him now is either further degradation of any hope of a future as he either joins a group of these young boys and they get into the drug abuse and thievery and that lifestyle, or because of who young Tato is, he chooses to go back to his father.
Now, this is a film very much from a child's point of view, and one of the things that it does so brilliantly is it makes you feel very much that you are there with the child, but it doesn't have any of the sentimentality that maybe the corresponding American movie might have.
One of the issues, as we were finally in post production with these things, one of my constant inputs was, as we would get different cuts, was that, you know, we need to make this faster, we need to make it shorter, we need to lighten everything up, we need to put more Hollywood into this. And fortunately, in the edit process, which was going on in Istanbul, I think they ignored most of that.
And they just didn't take your input.
They didn't take my input, and it's fortunate that they didn't, because, you know, the texture, the way this, and George and I have always agreed on this, if you notice, there's a lot of medium to close-up. We want to see the human drama, not necessarily with dialogue all the time. You don't need to hear someone saying their heart is broken, or I'm confused, or I'm hurt. We were fortunate to find young Tato, who was not an actor, who could convey these feelings and emotions.
He's not an actor. He looks like an actor to me.
Well, he's an actor now. We had to teach him how to sign autographs.
He's brilliant, and in this so very quiet, understated way.
Well, and again, the way that the film was edited, I think we started out at 100 minutes, and ultimately the print that's out there now is down to 90 minutes. So there were places where we sped up, but again, for most of it, it stayed where it is. But the way they filmed this, what George wanted to, and what he's done in a couple of his short films, is stay with the character, let the human drama evolve, let the story and the drama evolve through the character. Young Tato was actually found in a dentist office. Lots of discussion back and forth. Obviously, you know, the problem he has with his eye. A lot of us felt that would be a distraction for the audience. You'll notice a lot of times the squinting and things. That's actually, although it works in the context of the film.
Yeah, there's a kind of squinting or closing his eyes tightly that he does, which seems like a child trying to not see or to see the images that are in his own head.
Exactly.
In favor of what is around him.
And in reality, it was as much his physical, the physical issues that he had with his eyesight.
Wow.
It was ultimately George's final decision. He said, this is the
we're
boy.
We're casting him.
And we have thanked him ever since. Tato's did live in a small village outside of Belize. No electricity, no running water. His first airplane ride ever was to Berlin, where we had our world premiere. His first hotel room was Berlin.
And he's 14 years old now.
He's 14 years old now. We were in Berlin in February of this year. And he is that character, though. I mean, he's a quiet, unassuming young man in so many ways. Loves to laugh. If you give him a reason to laugh, he bursts into this 12-year-old release type thing, and of course blown away by everything that's going on around him, but somehow he manages to stay in the story and in the character, and I can't imagine anyone else.
Yeah, and the story is a simple story of a boy trying to find his way, and every detail in it is so carefully done, so carefully shot and edited, and it's so loving, and the landscape is so beautiful. Even as the human story is bleak in many ways, you're in this beautiful landscape, and then the faces on these people. I was watching the film with my mother, and we were saying faces like that they're not born but made.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If and when you go there to that part of the world, I mean, I have hundreds of pictures of people that when we were actually out on locations and scouting, not really for casting stuff, but for, you know, getting a general layout of what we're going to do, these people would appear sometimes on a donkey cart, sometimes next to a church. You had to take the picture because those faces, the history of their country are on their faces.
Yeah.
And very little makeup. You know, you just, there was nothing else. Why would you? No makeup, a lot of natural light, very little lighting went on during the shooting process, except in certain sequences. But that country is a country that has a texture and a... I think it's probably like looking at a... if you look at a Persian rug, I won't say even if it's not expensive, but a very well-made Persian rug, and you see, you get up close to it, and you see the detail, and you see the texture, and you see the complexity. That's probably the best way I could describe that country and that people. I mean, what they've been through for thousands of years. You can imagine how bad things had to be if 300 years ago they turned to Russia and said, can we be a part of you because we're tired of all these other things that have been going on for centuries and centuries. I mean, that's where they turned. But they've, you know, the Georgian people, they have their own language. They don't speak Russian there, especially now that they're not a part of the Soviet Union. But the Georgian language is incredible to hear. I don't know how you would ever learn it.
Yeah.
You know, their art, their music, the incredible music, their dance, there's no way to describe it. So This is such a rich culture, rich people. If you go to visit Georgia, it is a part of their culture that a visitor is a gift from God. And as some people might take that lightly or not, but the fact of the matter is that is how they believe, and that's how you're treated. And they will ask you why you took so long to get there, and then they want to know why you're leaving.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of people they are. They're so excited, and we're still looking forward to the other film that we didn't get to make, that we had to put aside for financial reasons, and we could make this one because it costs much less. But the people in general that we worked with and talked to over there, the concept of a co-production with the United States in a film that's going to basically show the rest of the world that here we are, here's our country, here's our culture, here are our people, we're here.
Yeah.
Recognize us.
And this movie is such a wonderful introduction to that. I mean, there are many independent films that are in the festival, and I don't like to ever say anything bad about a film because people are out there doing their best and scraping the money together.
It's hard to make a movie.
It's hard to make a movie, but there are many flaws in many independent films that get made, and this film that you have participated in, The Other Bank, this Georgian film, it is flawless. It is so beautiful and heartfelt and heart-opening, again, without any of that kind of American sentimentality. It's an incredible feat that you've accomplished.
Well, you know, George, who directed this, George not only directed it, but him and a man named Rustam Ibragimbekov adapted the screenplay. Rustam got an Oscar in 1994 for Burnt by the Sun, foreign film.
Oh, that, I remember that. That was an amazing movie.
It's a dark Eastern European genre type film, but it was so well told that it should have won. But the way they did the adaptation, and then the way George made his selections as they went through and you actually start filming, you know, he deserves the credit for this. He's an incredibly sensitive, kind man with an incredible family, bringing them up in, you know, again, unbelievable circumstances. So,
well, there were some parallels in the making of the film to the contents of the film.
Unintentionally.
Yeah.
Probably the most, to me, the most stark one is that last summer, as we were in final post-production, and, you know, we were going back and forth. This truly was, there's a woman called Dina Iordanova. She runs the film program at St. Andrews University in Scotland. She has coined a phrase, transnational filmmakers, because as she points out, you know, globalization economically and now in the realm of filmmaking, just like we see films from Pakistan and everywhere else now, from Mumbai, you know, Slumdog Millionaire.
Right, and this movie made in Pakistan, which is screening at the Santa Fe Film Festival.
Exactly. She points out that this is somewhere that filmmaking has gone. You know, our editor was a woman from South Korea. Our director of photography is from Iran. The sound was edited and mixed in Lithuania. The music was scored in Israel. You know, I'm from the U.S. George is from Georgia. The fact that they put this collaboration together was amazing. But in the midst of all this, so we have all these people working together, trying to edit it in a lab in Istanbul. At the middle of last summer, the Russians, and politics aside, because there are several different versions of this, but one fact is that the Russians moved into Georgian territory, and they at one point got 30 miles or so outside of Tbilisi. George was in, I believe, Germany at the time. I was back here. I was working with the people from Stepbridge Sound right here in Santa Fe. We were trying to work out problems with sound. Mark Sharon at Capitol Video and I were editing trailers. We're all working this. Well, the first things the Russians did were they blew up the tower at the airport and they knocked out the internet for the whole country. So we had no communications. And then, of course, you could watch CNN wherever you were, and all you could see were these advances being made into Georgian territory. George has a wife, a mother. His father died when we were looking for locations in 2006, and three very young children. He stopped everything, and he had to get back to Tbilisi.
Just to take care of his family.
Just to take care of his family. He hiked through mountains. He got on a train. He, through various ways that he refuses to elaborate on, he made it to Turkey, to Istanbul, and then from there flew to Armenia, and then managed, as the flow of refugees and people were coming out of Georgia, he managed to work his way back to his family and back to his wife and small children.
And probably
children.
Everyone was saying, you're going the wrong way.
Everybody was saying that. There's, you know, even the Russian soldiers, at one point he was near Russian soldiers, and they were saying, you know, you need to leave. And he said, no, I'm not. So art mimicking life, in this case, what George was going through was mimicking what we had just worked on for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And the sequence, you know, if it had happened before we had done the editing, I don't know if there was anything. You couldn't make something like this up.
Yeah.
It just, it gave George even more of a depth of experience from a personal standpoint to get the project, to get it done. Because, you know, up until that point, I'd probably seen more of his wife and children when I had been there than he did. Because he was, you know, he put this whole group of people together. And in order to do that, he was all over the world, all the time.
The film is called The Other Bank. Stan Rodman is the U.S. producer of the film, and it is screening as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival on Friday, December 4th at 12:15 at the Screen, and once again at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening at the DeVargas Cinema. And I have to say, I think it's my favorite. It's my pick
Thank
of
you.
The festival. It's my favorite film that I've seen so far
Thank
among
you very much.
Many films. I certainly haven't seen them all, but congratulations on making such a fine and beautiful film.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR is streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want. Thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz features an interview with author Terry Teachout on his new book about Louis Armstrong, plus the Women in Jazz Hour.